Police fired gunshots and tear gas on Monday to disperse a tense crowd that gathered near the site of a leading opposition candidate's election rally in the volatile Nigerian city of Jos. Tensions have flared in the country ahead of the April 9th vote, with a number of political meetings targeted with bomb attacks. Monday's violence followed two attempted bomb attacks on Christian churches in Jos at the weekend, one of which failed to detonate, and the other killing the three attackers. Dr. Katsa Gondwe is the team leader for Africa and the Middle East at Christian Solidarity Worldwide. She told Kelsey Brennan-Wessels more about the political motivation behind the attacks on Plateau State's Christian majority.
The recent violence really was particularly on Sunday. There were two attempted bombings at churches. During the first one, three men on a motorbike rode up to the Evangelical Church Winning Hall, which is ECWA, in Angwan Rukuba Junction. And this church is also close to a Kokin church, that's Church of Christ in Nigeria. And the timing was very strategic because it was as the English services were coming out of both churches and the houses of services were preparing to enter. So the place was full of people who were attending church. And these people rode up on the motorbike, and before they could actually launch the bombs they were carrying, the bombs exploded and they themselves were killed by them. On the same day, two men on a motorbike went to the Mountain of Fire and Miracles Church, which is on Jengere Road in Jos, and left a bomb there as well. But that failed to detonate. So these people who went to church on Sunday had a lucky escape, or should we say a blessed escape, really. And but the worrying thing is that the violence has now escalated to the regular use of bombings, or so it seems, or this is what these people seem to want to do. We're assuming it may be the same people who bombed Jos on Christmas Eve in 2010. And the people who actually claimed responsibility for that much, much later was the group Boko Haram, which is an Islamist group. But as you're aware, even before Boko Haram showed its hand, there has been tension in Jos, really, with Fulani Muslims attacking predominantly Christian villages. And in some instances, there's been retaliation.
What is the motivation behind these attacks?
Well, I think it's more wanting more political power for themselves in the area, I'd say. They can't really get the Christians out because the Christians are in the majority in Plateau State. This is the one Christian majority state in the area, a clearly Christian majority state, at least the one that nobody disputes about, because some people think there may be more Christian majority states, but this is the one where there's a clear majority. So it can't be that they will get Christians out of the state, but it could be that they may take, what they want to do is to take certain political and other positions that constitutionally are reserved for people who can trace their ancestry to a given state. So this is a constitutional thing that applies to every state in the Federal Republic. However, in Plateau State, the Fulani seem to want to have the advantages of what you'd call an indigenous tribe. And because they feel they've been there long term. And when this isn't happening, the violence starts.
Now, I understand there's also violence going on in the Jos polo fields. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, there's a political party called the Congress for Progressive Change. And it's led by the former head of state, General Muhammad Buhari. And worries most of the Christians who are there. But prior to the violence that happened yesterday, there was violence a few weeks ago when the same forces that support this party actually attacked people in Jos around the Bauchi Road area, killing a lot of people and maiming, and dragging innocent passers-by out of cars and killing them because of their ethnicity or because of the fact they're not Fulani or identifiably Muslim. So this CPC seems to have a history or a tendency towards violence when it meets in Plateau State. And at the polo area, what we heard was reports of gunfire, heavy gunfire in the area, and that the supporters of the CPC were clashing with local residents. Again, I'm hearing that at one stage that the police had to fire tear gas, and that the body of the youth was discovered in a football field in the general area. But we still haven't got clear information as to what exactly happened at that time.
Now, what about dialogue? Is there an ongoing dialogue?
Well, there are many people, I think, who are supposedly undertaking dialogue and who have tried to undertake dialogue. But it seems that this violence happens regardless of the dialogue. I know that in one area, there was a peace treaty struck between the local tribes and the Fulani. And the very next day, it was broken by an attack on a village. So I think people find it quite distressing that even as they are talking dialogue and peace, you know, others are planning attacks. So, but I don't doubt that there are people of good heart, even among the Fulanis, who want an end to this incessant violence. And I think eventually efforts towards dialogue will achieve something, but it'll take some time and it'll take a lot of courage as well on both sides.
Well, Dr. Ganwe, those are all the questions I have for you, but is there anything else you'd like to add?
With the elections coming up, I think a lot of prayers needed for Nigeria because the electoral violence will be mixing in with this violence. And we just need to pray that a good government comes in that will actually tackle all of the problems in northern and southern Nigeria and deal with all of the underlying issues that create a huge body of unemployed youths who can be easily garnered to these kind of wrong causes. So we just need a good government that will actually take action to remedy the situation in Nigeria.